put out their electronic stuff here. They,
I think I got it right. Can you hear me? Hello? All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon to all the guests, too. We thought there hardly be anybody here today, but it's not what we say. It's what God determines to be here. Hopefully, there's a reason for it. God had put in my heart for a long time to give a, quote, positive message. Not that any of the messages were, like, negative. It just felt like with what's going on in the world, sometimes what we struggle with, it's nice to hear all the promises that we look forward to. That's why we show up every day in spite of our trials. So there's some things that you could describe verbally, but they don't translate enough until you see it visually. So I thought I'd play a couple of videos to start with to set up, to introduce my message. And so I, without hesitation, now I'd have Garrett play the first one, and then I'll talk about the next one. So I'm going to sit down for a second. Are you playing again? Is this... Yeah, you can just stop then. Yeah, please. There was some sound to it, but we don't need to have the sound to get what I'm getting at. We are playing a second one, and I'll just give you an introduction to the second one. I just want you to just observe it quietly and just take it in as you would. And I'll let it speak for itself. It's called The Known Universe. The film shows the known universe as mapped through astronomical observations. I'm reading it to you because it's going to go fast. Every satellite, moon, planet, star, galaxy is represented to scale and in its correct measured location according to the best scientific research to date. The data is curated and maintained by the research astrophysicists at the American Museum of Natural History as the Digital Universe Atlas. So I want to play that. It's only a couple of minutes. If we can't get the sound, that's okay, because when you look up at this, it's you don't need sound, but if the sound is on, that's fine. Let's go ahead and play it. Thanks, Garrett. Appreciate it. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, O our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That was written by David in Psalms, chapter 8, verses 3-9. In Hebrews, it was quoted again by the writer of Hebrews, we think it's Paul. It says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. That's Hebrews 2, verse 5. But one testified in a certain place, saying, again, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You've noticed how little we are when we went through that. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all the things in subjection under his feet. For in that you put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, the kicker, we do not see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just as we were, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I was trying to tie that into the fact that the God we worship did all that, and we are this little itty-bitty creature that he pays attention to. This is what David was saying. And in Psalms 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. A firmament shows his handiwork." Verse 2 of chapter 19, "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Which means when we look at this creation, if you're really thinking about it, it talks to us. That's what I'm reading. It tells us about God, his awesome power. And in Romans, we're familiar with that scripture, Romans 1:19-20. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has chosen it to them." In verse 20 of Romans 1. "For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We don't have an excuse. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build me? Where is the place of my rest?" But what's interesting is where he focuses. "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But this one, on this one will I look." Pay careful attention. "On him who is a poor and contrite spirit, who trembles at my word." The person, the being who created all that, scans the universe, scans the earth, for the person who has a contrite and poor spirit. Looks for it. Which means we're all on equal footing. Doesn't matter how much money you have, your education, who you are, how great you are, but he looks for that spirit. And he's very conscious about it. Now, some of you might, I don't know you, all of you individually, what your heart is, but sometimes you look at something like this, and for me, it's quite inspiring. But I understand that sometimes we're struggling to make ends meet. Maybe have relationship issues. We see the suffering in the world, and we're so focused on this that we don't look up. That all this stuff is nice. But I gotta take care of I have a job, I have to take care of my family. And truthfully, carnally, that is actually what some people believe. That until you've met your basic needs, you can't look up all this high stuff, this potential. And there's a person who actually wrote something that many of you went to college or read the book in psychology called Abraham Maslow's Pyramid. What it says is that he had five levels in his model. He said, first you have to have your biological and physical needs. You need air, food, drink, shelter, warmth, sleep. Then you have to feel safe. Protection from the elements, security, order, stability. And after that, then you can go into loving people. Before that, you can't, because you got to meet your basic needs. There's love and belongingness. That's when you start having friends, having intimacy, affection, and love from a group, from family, from friends. But before you can get there, you got to have your needs taken care of before you can show love. And the fourth is esteem needs. That's the next level. You've filled all that. Now you've got your needs taken care of. You're safe and you love. You've got the love and friends. Now you have esteem. Now you feel better about yourself. Independence, prestige, self-respect. And after that's all taken care of, the fifth level is where you actually at the pinnacle of everything. It's where you realize your potential. You seek personal growth and peak experiences. And you know, that does make sense from a carnal standpoint. But we are asked by God to transcend that with the Holy Spirit. We stir it up, we use it, and we are told that Apostle Paul says that the peace of God that passes, it's huperiko, all understanding. Some of us were called in various stages of our lives. And so we haven't had, maybe we're in the middle of that pyramid, but yet God has called us to enjoy his calling and to look forward to a better life in the future. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Peter chapter 4, he's talking about a trial that they're going through, but in verse 13 he says, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And in John chapter 16, if you've been reading John, the Bible, there's a section there, verse 33, it says, be of good cheer. Although you have tribulation, I have overcome the world. See, we all need motivation to live a godly life. Jesus himself needed their motivation. It says that pretty clearly. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, we look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, when you read about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, I will say this. Until you've actually seen it or read about it in detail, I don't think you know what you're talking about. It's just my personal opinion. Jeff lent me a book called The Killing of Jesus. It went into the actual detail of that sacrifice, the shredding of his skin and his muscles, the torture and the pain, and how scientifically, the Romans designed this to get the utmost torture and pain and keep it a long time until they're ready to have you die. And so I've changed my attitude about that because I think we gloss over it. We talk about the blood and the body. But if that's all you know of it, it's the blood and the body and the sacrifice, and you saw a picture, he doesn't tell the whole story. And the reason I think that's important is because if we don't see it, we don't know the magnitude that this being who created this universe went through to allow us to have the opportunity for eternal life. So it says endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint your mind. There are times, I will say, maybe more so some than others, where living this Christian life is just not, it's just tough. Not because it's not worth it, it's just tough. You go through various stages in your life where you struggle. I was called when I was 12. I didn't say I was baptized. So it's hard to say this, but I'm 59 now. That's about 47 years since I was called. I got baptized when I was 18. That's 41 years ago. I got married when I was, I think, 27. About that time. So I've been married 31 years. And that's, life has been quite challenging. We've got, periods of unemployment, sickness, illness. You have friends, relatives who die or are suffering. So it's been challenging but enjoyable. And that one of the things that kept me going through all that is this book, what it said in this book. And what I wanted to do today was go through some of the positive, fun stuff, the promises. Because like Jesus Christ, the joy that was set before him, he endured, the God of all creation endured this flagellation, this beating that no man should ever go through. But God of all people had to go through it. And that there was something in front of him that he kept going. And I think if we don't have that, or are not reminded, sometimes we can get the world get us down. It's just an opinion, but I know I've felt it. Ups and downs. You have issues you deal with. So what I'm trying to do today is, well, let me rephrase. When we were worldwide, those who remember, there was a booklet called The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. It was one of my favorite booklets, because it talked about all those future stuff. And I wish... So this is sort of my version of it. So I'm going to go through and just go through some verses quickly. Nothing new here, but hopefully a reminder that maybe some of you might remember it, and maybe you haven't read it recently. A refresher that at the end of this message, hopefully you'll be a little uplifted and positive, or just go study it again. My first verse I'm using is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And you don't have to turn to all this, because I know what it's like when someone's speaking and they turn to a lot of scriptures. You know, by the time you finish, before you turn there, it's done. I just want you to just feel it. I mean, if you want to turn, that's fine too. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That sounds pretty good. Pleasures forevermore. Who doesn't want that? I sort of divide this into sections just to have some chronological order to it, but it's not written in concrete, it's just written in my paper. So Job 14:14 and verse 15, it says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, you get that? Hearts, will I wait till my change comes? You shall call, and I will answer, and you shall desire the work of your hands. That's kind of exciting, you know. We're getting a little older. You know, I didn't think when I was 12 that I'd be this age, you know. It just seems to fly. I had three kids along the way, and two of them are married. I'm going to have a grandchild. But it's, as Jeff had said when he spoke before, this is, it's like that. You're young, then you're old. So there's got to be something that'll keep you going so that, hey, when, like Paul said, I fought the good fight. I had finished the course. I'm done. I can't wait to see the Savior. There's got to be that in our mind that's making us look forward. So let's go to some more along this line of the Christ, coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. I mean, those who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. When someone dies, we're sad. It's normal. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. See that chronology? Those who are alive when Christ returns, and I guess they're telling us somebody to be alive, will not precede. Those who are dead will rise first. And then it says in verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. I can't tell you how many times I've read that when I've seen suffering, because it says comfort you another with these words. So it's a tool when things happen, like you read that. Let me go to Zechariah. Now some people assume that then they'll go to heaven, but Zechariah 14 says it different. Zechariah 14 chapter 1, it's talking about the day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. And I go to verse, chapter 14, verse 4. And in that day, the day of the Lord's coming, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. I don't know if you can visually see that, but on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east and to the west, making a large valley. So if this is the mountain, it splits and north and south, and then there'll be a valley from east to west. Then you shall flee through the mountain valley, for the mountain of valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from earthquake in the days of Uzziah. king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. And verse 16, this is something near and dear to us now in terms of events. It says, it shall come to pass. Again, remember the timing is the arrival of Jesus Christ. He's here. That everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Christ is here. So it's not done away with, right? Why are we keeping it? It's here now. It shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not come to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Imagine that. Everyone will be forced to have fun. Now, those of you who have kept the feast know what I'm talking about. I remember my first feast. I was 18. I was born a Catholic. Was a Catholic till I was baptized when I was 18. But it was my first feast. At that time, I went to Ambassador College, and I didn't have any money. I didn't know what this feast thing was. But they took a bunch of the students, most of them in the bus. And I don't know if Jeff or Alan were in that, but I was in the bus because I didn't have any money. I went with the bus for the students. First stop was Yosemite. Never been there before. Beautiful place. And they gave me $100. For those who didn't have any money, they'd say $100. They kept saying, it's feast, feast, feast. So we got to Yosemite. It's the first time I enjoyed walking in the rain. It's spectacular. You've seen pictures of it. Until you've been there, though, you really don't know how spectacular it is. But that's okay. There's things you have seen that I haven't. But after that, we went to a place called Squaw Valley, where they paid for a room and board, and I had my $100. And I remember distinctly a meal. We went to this restaurant. I was invited. When I looked at the menu, I remember Sylvester. He was a black man. I can't remember him. But he said, man, just order here, and I'll pay for it. And I was looking at the menu. Now, understand, I had student, no money. I was on student loan, so I didn't really want to spend my $100. I was looking at the price, $5 for a meal. I can't afford that. He said, I'll take care of it. So he bought, to this day, I remember he bought me, he paid for my spaghetti dinner, which was incredible to me. I don't know, man, an act of kindness like that at the right time, you remember. Just like, you know, you've got kids here. You treat them nice and they'll remember you. You don't know why you did it, but if you were nice to them, but if you were mean, they'll remember that too. But you know what I'm talking about. So, we have diligently saved for the feast, and I don't think I missed the feast. In fact, I know I have not missed the feast in 40 plus years I've attended it, and my kids, I don't think they know any different. But we've been, Michelle and I have been able to go to the Philippines, go to Hawaii, out of the kindness of some of the people who saved their tithes, because we got married again. When you're young, usually that's something you say, unless you had a good job. We didn't have any money, or very little money. So someone gave us some money. We were able to go to Hawaii and enjoy that, and then the Philippines. And we try to help other people when we can, as we see the need of God to reveal it to us. But my children have always enjoyed the feast. So when someone doesn't want to keep the feast, I know there's the issue of school and work and all that, but I don't think they would want not to. I mean, it's like, where are we going to keep the feast? Which means we're paying for where they're going. But so that's the trump card at least we have. Since we're paying, now they have their own job, so they can go wherever they want. But they still come with us for some reason, so that's kind of nice. But the Feast of Tabernacles is one thing that God is going to ask us to do, and that was kind of a very appealing thing. And I remember it to this day. That drives me forward. I know that Jeff and Sharon and Aaron and Alan, they've handled feast sites, and a lot of times it's a lot of work. And you go, I don't know if I want to sponsor or do another one. But then when you see the faces of the people who enjoyed it, the kids that made friends, they want to continue to be with godly people. Again, I'm not saying there are people who aren't godly who aren't not at the feast, but generally that's where you look for it. They want to keep going and doing it. So it's a generation. It keeps going until Christ returns. So that excites me. The next part I want to read is about world peace and abundance, but they're all kind of mixed in. So Isaiah chapter 19, verse 20. And it will be a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one. He will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt. Right now, when you think of Egypt or the Middle East, you're thinking bad blood, fighting, killing, hatred. And Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. Now, we do know one thing. This is not happening now, so it has to be in the future. And this is in the Old Testament, which means it's telling us about things in the future. And the Lord will strike Egypt, he will strike and heal. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. Right? We're talking about a future event in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is done away with, and then this doesn't make sense. But obviously, things are still going to happen. Verse 23, and in that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Some of us believe that's Germany. And that was Assyria was one of the nations that took the nation of Israel captivity. And Assyria will come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria, and Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land. Realize we're talking about nations that don't get along now, but it's saying here in verse 25, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. That to me sounds like they're getting along, which is really quite different today. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1, beginning verse 1. Again, I'm reading this. You can read it yourself, but when I strung them together, it just says, you know, there's hope for this place. I've got to just keep pounding away, but there's hope. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are faint, fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and serve you and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. I don't know if you know any blind people, but that is, and if you're losing your sight, I don't like this glasses. I mean, you're a blur to me. But there's some who can't even see that way. They'll be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Now, as we get older, so we get these ailments. I got this ringing in my ears that drives me nuts sometimes. I'm sitting, and I can hear, but it bugs me. But there's some who can't even hear that. They'd probably love to have the ringing in the ears to hear something. But it's saying that the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I remember living, when I was going to graduate school in Fullerton, I would visit Pasadena because my wife was still wife-to-be. Was in Pasadena, but there was a guy who would drive from Fullerton to Pasadena, but the thing is, he was deaf, so I would have to stay overnight at his place so I could ride with him. The thing is, I don't know if you've ever lived with a deaf person. He was wonderful, he gave me rides, but they can't hear, right? So when they're preparing food, the pots and pans, man, it's bam, bam, and I'm trying to sleep, but he doesn't know. But at some point, his name is Larry, he'll be able to hear. But when you're deaf, it's like, I think sometimes, maybe I'm losing my hearing because they said I speak loud. Maybe it's because I'm losing my hearing. I hope that's not it, but that can be an indication. But there are people who would love to even hear, be able to hear. So God is saying that that's going to happen. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Now, Eileen, I know you've had, I'm sure you'd like to be a ninja, you know, jump up high and not worry about the knee. But there are people who are lame. They'll leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Let's go to Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He shall teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Is that happening right now? I think you know the answer. It's rhetorical. But it says it's going to happen. So I cling to that promise. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Now, this is my version of that, sitting under the vine, under his fig tree. It's like they've got an ice-cold Kentucky bourbon ale with probably some blistered peanuts, pistachios, or roasted chestnuts, with family and friends, just having a good old time, just talking and laughing. To me, that's what it's telling me. It's like, you know, everyone sitting in his vine and fig tree. Some of us live in apartments. You don't, or live in townhouse. There's no tree. But here it's saying that it'll be a time in the future where that will happen to all people. So I look forward to that. Now, we happen to be blessed with property now, but that was a blessing that God gave through the love and kindness of her family, my wife's family. I had nothing to do with it, but I'm very thankful that we have it. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Verse 14. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them. We've talked about slavery in the past, how people were pulled where God had put them. It's because man did it. But in terms of gardens, some of us have gardens, some don't, but it's talking about a time when I'm thinking there won't be any GMOs or bovine growth hormones in the cattle. And that, again, this is my personal desire. Tropical stuff like mangoes, avocados. There's something called atis in the Philippines. And they have a fruit there called rambutan. And it's a, they say it tastes like heaven, but smells like hell. And it's true. It's a fruit, if you go to the Philippines, that's what they say. It's very tasty. It stinks. But I'm just saying, there are some things we have not experienced. But God is saying, really, in Amos, that things will be good. And then let's go, we have children here, and we've had our children. We're, God willing, have a grandchild soon. They think it's going to be sooner than we think it might be a little later, but you never know. The baby will come when the baby decides, or when God decides the baby comes. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. We're wrapping it up, another couple more scriptures. This one I've always wanted to experience, but we'll see. Maybe I hope to see it, but maybe not physically. Those with children and grandchildren are concerned. Again, Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. How cool is that? I don't know about you, but these things excite me, and it's kind of carried me through trials, reading these things. It's a hope, you know, that's in my, Christ said a hope, we have a hope, we look forward to it. The cow and the bear shall graze. You don't see that too often at all. The young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child, we've got one here, shall play by the cobra's hole. Sir Stacy wouldn't allow that to happen right now. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Is this sort of like fiction to you? I mean, because if it is, then it's really boring, because it's all these good stuff that, if it's, what I'm saying is, if it's not real to you, then, you know, just go to sleep and forget about it. But to me, it's real. Again, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying, if this is not real stuff that you read in the Bible that you believe and accept, then it's kind of it's a sad situation, because this world definitely is not the place I want to be forever. Another set of scriptures, Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. We're ruining this. You watch any National Geographic or Jacques Cousteau stuff where they have trash all over the ocean, mud and oil. It's sickening what we're doing to it. Eventually it'll be changed. Verse 18, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as rejoicing and her people a joy. Verse 19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. That's one of the things that I remember when we had children, we dreaded. SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. That's like the worst, if not the worst, one of the worst things you'd ever think about. But it has happened. So he's addressing that here. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. We all wonder, we're going to hit that. You know, the Bible says 70, if by reason of vitality you live longer. We got 7 years, really, from the Bible. And some of us are going to live longer because of our vitality or our genetics. But it's saying here, no one will not live their full days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Not sure what that means, but it's not the time to discuss that. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. That's being said for a reason. Sometimes you build stuff and you can't afford it. How many stories have you heard of people who spent a lot of money, built a house, their dream house, they liked it, then they couldn't keep it because they couldn't afford it anymore. They just, maybe because they didn't plan properly or something hit them financially improperly, and they did all that planning and looking forward to it, and now they don't have it. Here it says, you build it, you inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. That means a long time. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bring the forth children for trouble, for they shall be descendants of the Lord and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, this is verse 24, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Do you feel that way? That when you pray, he's already hearing it? I hope so. But I would say, for me, not always. It's because I'm thinking I did something bad and I'm not being a good guy. Of course, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ takes care of that. We ask for forgiveness and he loves us. But that's kind of the old, Gary and I have been, old covenant thing where you think, oh, he's trying to smack us. No, we make a mistake, we stumble, and he says if you ask forgiveness, it'll be okay. But if you can pray and you know that while you're speaking, he's hearing it, that's very comforting. And I hope we feel that way. And I think as we get more mature spiritually, we feel more and more that way. I think we start off not so sure. And then here's another thing about the animals. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the dust shall be a serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. We have people who work in farms, and they say one of the most dangerous places to be in the farm. You know, all that equipment and all that. But we have a lot of friends who farm, who have property where they garden or do all sorts of things. But you're concerned about animals coyotes, the wolves eating your animals, destroying your livestock. I mean, I think in Colorado they tried to shoot animals. Now it's saying they shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain. That's coming like something to look forward to. So on the home stretch, there's a reward for what we're doing, and I won't read the whole scripture, but in Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5, it talks about the fact that he has made us kings and priests to God on earth. That's Revelation 1 verse 6. And it talks about the same thing in Revelation 5 verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Now, reign means ruling. And the priest, in Isaiah 30, chapter 20 and 21, it talks about the fact that no longer will your teachers be hidden in the corner. You will see them. Not only will you see them, you will hear them. And it says, this is the way, go ye in it, whether to the right or to the left. There are many days where I wish, you know, God would show us what to do, right? But in this case, I don't know how that applies specifically, but the teacher, I think it's the priest, was saying in that time, this millennial time, we're guiding people. So what we're learning here today as we learn to obey and love God is how to do God's way, the way he wants it done. And that we will be able to use that. It says we shall reign on earth. It doesn't say on heaven. My final scripture is something that always, if I'm down, this is a scripture that I always like. It's Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I'm going to conclude with that scripture. Revelation 21, verse 1 up to 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know if that's considered a new heaven or a new earth, the one we saw. But it says a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 4, and for those of you who are going through trials, this is like classic verse. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't know what you've suffered or gone through specifically. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Yeah. Yes, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes, talking about us, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. God, he shall be my son or daughter. You know what we saw, that God created all things through Jesus Christ. His awesome eternal power and Godhead, we just saw. Video. It's indescribable. And as God has done, we've read. We're itty-bitty little creatures that sometimes have a bad attitude. Mortal will die, but we don't think so. But yet God loved us. He chose to die for us. He chose us. He said his calling is without repentance. That through his death we may have an opportunity for eternal life with pleasures forevermore. We must not allow anything or anyone to make us forget that hope, because it's that joy that will carry us through the rest of our tough times. So I'm thinking, when you're going through trials, especially the severe ones, in addition to what you do, you know, you pray, you meditate on God's promises, you have support from brethren, whether here in this room or otherwise else, that you remember to think of God all the time, that you take some time to look, just go out sometimes when you're just having a bad spell, look up into the heavens and just communicate with God. I'm not trying to be some make it some new age stuff. I'm talking about just seeing God's power. This is the God I'm praying to. And remember the words that Jesus Christ said as you go through it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Means take courage, be comforted. I have overcome the world. So I hope this has been a little bit uplifting. I know it's a lot of reading, but at least one thing I will say, it wasn't my words, it was all from here. And the ending is always good and positive for all of us. So, that is what I had to say. Does anybody have any comment? Good, bad. Oh, by the way, for those who are new, we have a custom here that once a speaker here speaks, you get allowed to make a comment. In a nice way, of course. If you disagree or agree, it's a room for discussion, but not a tangent. But anyway, oh, Sharon.
So I have a nice comment. It's a comment and a testimony, actually, because we were spent last week in the Canadian Rockies, and it was just one of the most glorious places you can imagine. Absolutely beautiful. And on the last day, last Wednesday, we were driving from Jasper National Park back to Edmonton and through what they say is one of the most beautiful highways in the world. And we had a day ahead of us, and we always say a prayer in the morning before we leave for a trip. And I don't remember exactly what Jeff said, but he said something about, obviously, the safety of the trip and letting us enjoy it and just letting us see things or something. I don't remember exactly what he said. But before we had even left Jasper, we came upon a very millennial scene. We saw two bear cubs and a great big cinnamon brown bear, and it was just, we were so excited to see them. And then we saw a man walking on a path beside them, and we thought, oh, what an idiot. You know, you never, of course, walk up to these wild animals, but he didn't walk up there to see them. He was taking a walk. So he saw us stop and look at the bears, and he just, and he started walking away as fast as he could. So the one millennial thing about that is that the bears did not attack him. But we then got to see the two baby bears run up a tree, and they just kept climbing higher and higher. And it was just the neatest thing to see the baby bears, and the mother was still there. And then just at the same time, we could see down the road a little bit an elk with big antlers with the velvet still on them. And across the road was the cow elk. And so we got to see like a truly special thing and a very millennial setting, because the bear was with the elk and the man. And so we felt really blessed by that.
Awesome.
And also, of course, it was very millennial.
The thing I don't know, though, is what's going to happen to the old hunters. You know, I think Jeff said, where's my rifle? But I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you very much for this pre-Holy Day message, which is what it was. It helps us all get in a mood for observing God's fall holy days and the Feast of Tabernacles. And just a comment about why generally most people have stopped looking up, for a number of reasons. Number one is because man in general has become separated from the land, being that a lot of farming is done today by huge conglomerates, and a lot of family farms have died. The second reason being because of light pollution and noise pollution, that the skies over a lot of the world's nations have been destroyed because of that and because of pollution. So especially here in the Midwest, it's hard to look up and see a clear sky very often. But anyways, I really appreciate your message.
Any more? If not, let's close with... Oh, Fred.
The king... Okie dokie. God Father, God gave Satan 6,000 years. And Satan is still ruling on this earth. You can take a look around. You can look in the cities. Hey, it's all nasty. And the day the goat and the lion will lie down with each other, yes, but not now. You got to be prepared that you might be laying down with the lion. And God, Father, Jesus, their name is love. They love people. They love humanity. They want us all to repent and be their spiritual birth. And at this moment, beware. Okay, that's it.
I think that it's true. That's why Christ did say, you know, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. It's going to work out. And it's good, especially if you have children. You want to protect them from everything. You don't know where to turn sometimes. And sometimes churches aren't even safe to go, depending on what's going on. So you just have to be careful that everything stick to the Bible. Linda, did you have to say something?
When I was watching that video, of course, I like looking up at the sky, and you're right, Rick's right, a lot of light pollution, but the other night when they had the meteorites, and it's been hard for me to see them because I get so excited, and usually, like last year, it was cloudy, and so I couldn't see any, but I think it was last week that they were shown. And I saw one, well, I saw probably 8 of them, but I saw one, and it was just flying across the sky, and all of a sudden, it looked like it had just exploded. It was awesome. It was beautiful. And I'm going, wow. I mean, it's amazing. And when I saw the Milky Way, and I mean, I've seen the Milky Way, and I have binoculars, and I've looked up in the sky and seen some things, and I've seen Andromeda. It looks like a little cloud, but it's just amazing, and I love doing that, and every time I look up there, I say, oh God, thank you so much for your beautiful universe and for the stars and the planets, and it's just amazing what he has done.
Or two, depends on what's in the program. Thank you very much.